It's always better when you're here. Good to see you this morning. I want to welcome our online community today. We've got Pastor Darrell and Pastor Marichal and their family. They're online today. They're on holidays. Give them a big welcome this morning. Hope they're enjoying a good, refreshing, relaxing time. I can't wait for the next Man Moments event and all that rib fillet and all that pig. And I love man events. Very little salad. All good stuff. We might even throw in some Krispy Kremes. We might even do anything could happen on that night. So it's not a night to be missed. And we're going to have a conversation around mental health, which is what we've been doing, about being mentally wealthy and thinking well so that we can live well as guys. And I want to encourage you to be here for that night. I want to welcome this morning Esther Mann and her beautiful new bubby. And I've forgotten the name of Cedar, I'm sorry, because I just asked and I'm getting old. I walked the stage and I totally forgot. But welcome to your brand new bubby this morning. What are your hands today? 1 month old, just amazing and so beautiful. Go and check her out and congratulate the family after church if you would. Please. Well, this morning, we're going to start a new series of thought, which I'm really excited about. It's called Good Farmer. Everyone say farmer, as in F-A-R-M-A, closely related to karma, but it's different to karma. We're all familiar with the term karma in terms of that being rooted in Hindu philosophy. We've all heard of that thought. What goes around comes around, and you know, if someone crosses you, don't worry about it, don't get upset about it, because their day's coming. We all understand karma, and we kind of use it humorously sometimes, that whole thought of karma. Today I want to flip it. We're not talking about karma, we're talking about pharma, which is a similar principle from the Bible that talks about seed time and harvest, or sowing and reaping. It's kind of like the law of cause and effect, that future outcomes are determined by today's thoughts and habits and words and actions and behaviors. And the whole thought that we can play a part in the creative process of creating better outcomes for our lives, for our future, for our family, and for our church, for our community, that there's power that God has given us in our hands to be good farmers. Turn to your neighbor and say, be a good farmer. Be a good farmer. You know, there's a real sense that we're all farmers. And I know I'm not literally speaking to natural farmers in our church today. I don't know anyone in our church that is a farmer. But what I am today is I am speaking to, and I am addressing, and I am looking at everybody that is a farmer in a sense spiritually, but also very much in life. And I want to help lead you today and lead a conversation about this principle. I want to talk about it for a number of weeks, because I don't see any other more prevalent principle in the Bible than this one. And I don't think there's anything more impacting for the way our lives turn out than this principle that we're going to talk about today. Now, not only am I a church pastor, I'm also a life coach. And as a life coach, I have conversations with people around desired outcomes, where they want their life to be and where they want their life to go. And normally what happens in any conversation I have with someone when I'm coaching them is they want to start talking about their problem. They want to start talking about their issue. They want to start talking about their barrier. And what I want to say to you today, free of charge, no charge for this, this is free. Everyone else pays for it, but you get it free today. Your problem is not your problem. Turn to your neighbor and say, yes. Your problem is not your problem. Your wife is not your problem. Your husband is not your problem. Your parents are not your problem. Your job is not your problem. Your upbringing is not your problem. The postcode you live in is not your problem. Your problem is your vision. Your problem is what you see. Your problem is the view that you have for the future you and for the outcomes that you want in your life. For every farmer to begin planting seed, he has to first of all have a vision. I love farmers. Like if you talk about farmers that are growing crops, they go to a block of land that looks nothing like what they want it to look like, and they work the land. They till the land. They pull the rocks out of the land. They look after the soil. They put fences up. They care for their land more than they care for anything else because they know the value of the land. They know the value of the soil because they're going to place something in that soil that is going to feed them and their family, prosper them and their community, and make their lives more rewarding. And so they understand the power of the seed, the power of the seed. But the first thing that a good farmer has to do is they have to know what kind of crop they want. What kind of crop they want, because the crop you want determines the seed you plant. That's what a farmer must know first of all. Not only does it start there for a farmer, it starts there for every one of us also. The first thing we have to understand, work out, and write down and point our lives towards is, what kind of future do we want? What kind of future do we want to build towards, walk towards, run towards? What do we want to be like in 10 years' time, in 20 years' time? What do we want our life to look like? Our problem is our vision. We've got to be able to tell ourselves what we want, what we really, really want. And most people I talk to, when you ask them what they want, they go, I don't know what I want. That's the problem. And so your problem is not your parents. Your problem is not your postcode. Your problem is not your husband, your wife, your children, your employment, your business, your money. That's not your problem. The problem for all of us is our vision. Our vision, what we see, knowing what we want for our future. And here's the thought. We can all sow better seed for a better future. No matter where we're at today, it doesn't have to remain that way. It will if you don't do something. It will if you don't change your vision. It will if you don't change your seed. It will if you don't look after the soil. It will stay exactly the same. Life will not improve. It will actually go the other way. It'll go the other way unless we understand the principle of good farming. Now, I'm going to assume today, I'm going to assume that we've all got some priorities. Because, I mean, I know most of you. And I know the kind of priorities that you have in your heart as a God follower, as someone that loves God. I know that in your heart, you have these kind of priorities. You want to please God and keep Jesus at the center. Please, this is where I think it starts for us, is to please God and to keep Jesus at the center of it all. Like the Bible says, to love the Lord, your God, with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your strength. That's a priority for us, to love God unreservedly and to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. A second priority, and I'm kind of suggesting these to you as good priorities if you don't have any. Two is to be planted in God's house as a family, to plant your family in the house of the Lord. Psalm 92 verse 13 says we flourish when we do that. We are blessed when we do that, when we're planted in the house of God. I'm assuming today you want your life and your family and your world to flourish. I'm assuming today you want to be prospered and blessed and have a sense of progression forward with your life today. So I'm assuming that's a priority. I'm assuming today you've got a priority of building God's house together with us. And I know many, that's your heart. That's part of your vision. That's part of the future of what you want, that you wouldn't just be in God's house, but you would build God's house. God's house. That being in God's house means you're a builder of the house of God. Someone that's living with a kingdom heart and a kingdom mindset. That outworks in the fact that we contribute our time, our talent, that's the gift on our life, and also our treasure in the giving of our offerings to the Lord and to the church, to build the church and to empower the church to do what it does. You know, building church, it takes people who will invest their lives, their time, their finances, and their gifts in the house of God. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen accidentally. It takes real intentionality to be a builder of the house and the kingdom of God. And then finally, I'm assuming this, and I hope I've got it right. I'm hoping that I'm talking to the right people today. If I'm not, let me know. I guess if I see you walk out the door, I'm preaching to the wrong people today. But I'm thinking today that you want to become the best version of you. Turn to your neighbor and say, you better listen right now. Take some notes. Take some notes for the person next to you and give them to them after the service. That you want to become the best version of you relationally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, every way. That you want to live an empowered life and you want to be empowering others. It's like Josh said before, church is not all about him. Family is not all about him. It's about others. It's about the kids. It's about the family. And churches, we come together and worship. We do this collectively. We're part of a collective and we do the journey together. So we don't come with that me sense. We come with that we sense. God never called us into a me kingdom. He called us into a we kingdom, a kingdom that is wide, a kingdom that is inclusive of other people. And so I'm assuming today that being the best version of you means you want to live with purpose and you want to live purposely. If you don't have those kind of priorities, they'd be great priorities to build into your life today. I should apologize if I'm speaking a little funny today or if I lisp a little bit. I've had surgery done on a tooth and I've got stitches in my mouth and I'm conscious I can't smile properly, and every now and then I have a little lazy S going on. So if that happens today, it's just the stitches floating around. Can you believe the dentist got a mallet? I'm in the dentist chair, and he's a surgeon, this dentist, and a special one. And he said at one point, I think we're going to need the mallet. And I thought he was joking, so I laughed. But I noticed I was the only one in the room that laughed, because all of a sudden a mallet appeared, and it's like, whack, whack, whack. Oh, and I paid for that. Amazing. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, so excuse my lisp, verse 4, and this is going to be our thought for today as we launch this. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. The farmer can't afford just to sit back and leave it all in the hands of the weather. Farmers plant regardless. They plant in hope. They plant in faith. They plant in anticipation. And it doesn't always work out. Sometimes it doesn't come together. The ingredients are not quite right. The weather doesn't smile on them at the right time or the appropriate time. And it kind of seems like to me that poor old farmers, they either get too much rain or not enough rain. Or too much of this and not enough of that. And it hardly ever seems to be right. But they don't give up. They just keep planting the seed, and if the crop doesn't work out, they'll plow it into the ground and they'll start again, and they'll start that new season with faith and hope, looking for a harvest. Why? Because they have a vision. Don't let a little setback every now and then mean that you don't have a comeback. Don't let something that stops, that becomes a barrier to you, stop you from seeing the future that God has for you and the future that you also want for yourself. Don't let it be a hindrance. Next verse says, just as you cannot understand the path of the wind or the mystery of a tiny baby growing in its mother's womb, so you cannot understand the activity of God who does all things. In other words, the writer's saying there's some things that are up to God and there's some things that are up to you. And our job is not to understand everything. It's not to have it all worked out. It's not a calculated equation sometimes. Sometimes there's a gap. There's a faith step. There's a trust step that we have to take sometime. So don't worry about having to have everything worked out. And then he says, plant your seed in the morning and keep busy all afternoon, for you don't know if profit will come from one activity or another, or maybe both. In other words, he goes, who knows? Who knows whether that's going to be blessed or that's going to... It's a bit like investment. You know, you don't know whether that investment's going to work really well, or that investment, or that investment. You might lose on a few, but you keep faith over here, and it's just the way you go. So he says, just keep planting the seed. Your role as a good farmer is to sow the seed. That's your role. Your role is not to be responsible for the outcome. Your role is to plant the seed. And you don't know what will be profited. So plant your seed and do your work. Do your work. Have some different irons in the fire, I think, is the thought that the writer has for us. So we don't always understand what will be blessed and what won't be blessed. But the writer here is kind of saying, have a go. Just have a go and see what God will blessed. If you're the kind of personality, and I've met a few of them, that need to have everything worked out, every I dotted, every T crossed, that's healthy in some aspects of life, but there's some other aspects of life where it's going to take a risk. It's going to take you having a go. It's going to take you being a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit not knowing exactly how things are going to work out. Because if you don't do that or can't do that, what happens is you short circuit the creative process that God has put in place. God has asked us to plant the seed and then trust Him. Us to plant the seed and then just move on and keep doing what you got to do and see what will happen with that seed. And so the writer says, plant your seed in the morning and keep busy all afternoon. Now, can I say this, that planting or sowing seed is not the same as thinking about planting or sowing seed. Who's ever thought about mowing the lawn? But that lawn's still there waiting to be mowed. I've had a few of those thoughts. You know, the hedges need to be trimmed, but, well, something else to do. It's not the same thinking and doing. One is intention. One is all about intention. The other is all about action. And God wants a whole lot more action from us as His followers in this creative process. Our role is not to know everything. Our role is to do something. To do something. If I had a dollar for every time somebody in church has come and said, but I'd really love to get involved in church, I'd really love to serve God, but I just don't know what to do. And my response is always, just do something. Just do something. Do something. If you do something, you might find your one thing. In other words, I really believe the one thing that God has called us all to do is found on the other side of doing something. I never started doing this. I didn't actually want to do this. I wasn't good at doing this, and I'm still not good at this after 30-odd years. But it seemed like it became a calling for me. It's never been a job. It's never been a career. It's never been a profession. It's been an inescapable calling. And I think you only find that kind of place in life. And whatever you do, your business, your career, it's part of your calling. It's part of who you are. God doesn't call all His followers to be on this at all. In actual fact, I think He needs a whole lot more out there in business world, in work world, in neighborhood world, community world, family world, who are making a difference, believing they have an inescapable calling to do that. But I think you only find that as you do something that will lead you to your one thing. It's all part of the creative process that God creates for us. I think there's two great hindrances, or two of the greatest hindrances to our future harvest are these. Number one, when we don't know what we want for our future. When we don't know what we want for our future. You see, uncertainty creates confusion. You've probably seen it happen at an intersection where somebody, a novice driver, doesn't know who to give way to, and it balks everybody at the intersection or a roundabout. Have you ever had someone take off in front of you at a roundabout only to stop all of a sudden because of uncertainty? I had that happen once when I was a youth pastor, right outside our church. We were going out for a bonfire to a farm. We had about 25 carloads of kids that were going. We checked every driver. We did everything you had to do. We checked their insurances, made sure everything was right. But the one thing we couldn't check was confusion. We'd driven no more than probably about 200 meters and got a convoy of 25 cars. The first driver, Dennis, I still remember his name. After all these years, it still haunts me. Dennis went to take off, and Dennis got confused after about 2 meters and put his foot on the brake and stopped just as he entered the roundabout, which was okay for Dennis. But the guy behind Dennis didn't know what Dennis was thinking about or confused about, and so he hit Dennis, just a little nudge. But then the third guy hit him with a bit harder nudge. The fourth guy, a little bit harder. 17 cars later, there was a Valiant, one of those old school Valiants, who hit. By the time he hit, he was doing 60 or 70 kilometers an hour. A 17 car pileup, cascade of vehicles because of one person's confusion. Confusion leads to bad outcomes, and so we need to get clarity in life about what we want for our future. Not knowing what you want is a barrier. It's a barrier that will keep you restrained. If you don't know what you want, you can't complain about what you get because you're not sowing for it. If you don't know what you want, life's just going to come at you, and you've got no complaint because you didn't sow the seed for it. You can't complain about a harvest you haven't sown for. That was too quick for some of you. You can't complain about a harvest you've not sown for. You can if you've sown the seed. You can if you've done everything right. You can take it up with God at that point, because your good seed determines or requires a good outcome and a good harvest. The second thing that is a great hindrance to our future harvest is when we're discouraged by our circumstances or conditions and we stop sowing the seed that we need to sow in life for life to be what we want it to be. If we allow negative or contrary or challenging conditions to stop us from sowing the seeds for our future harvest, then our future harvest will be hindered. Our role is not to react to the weather. Our role is not to be afraid of the weather that's happening around us in life, the challenging conditions. Life is always full of challenge. Josh stood here before and said, life is hard. Yes, life is hard, but God is good. And those two truths exist hand in hand. There's a tension with them. Life is challenging, but God is good. So no matter how challenging life gets, I'm never going to lose sight of the fact that God is good. And God is a good God who always does good things. And my response is not going to be a reaction because of how hard life is, how bad things might be. I'm going to look in hope to this faithful God who always does good things. So my role, my main role, is to sow the seed. I'm going to be a good farmer. A good farmer sows the seed no matter what. Sometimes, you know, in church world, people are affected by the social weather. By the social weather, where they think to themselves sometimes, let's say someone who's just serving in church and doing lots of things in church, and they can think to themselves, you know, nobody ever notices me. Nobody ever says thank you, stops me and says thank you for what I do. So I'm just going to stop doing it. I'm just going to stop doing it. And that does happen from time to time, and it's never the intent. But it can happen. There are times and seasons where you may be overlooked. You may be not noticed as much as you want or need to be noticed or validated, even by people that you think should be validating you in that situation. But it's not a reason to stop sowing seed. It's not a reason to stop sowing the seed of serving God, because that choice to stop is never going to lead to a good place. It's never going to lead to a good outcome. So don't ever allow circumstances or emotions to stop you sowing seed. If you think that way, if you think that way, think, I'm just going to stop it because I'm not being appreciated or validated in the way I want to be appreciated or the way I want to be validated, then you've really got it all wrong, because we don't base what we do on what others say. If you base what you do and who you are on what others say, it's going to be really miserable for you. You've got to have a higher level than that. If I base what I do based on what people say to me or say of me, I would have given this up years ago. I would have given it up a long time ago. If I based it on what people said of me, about me, or did to me, I would have walked away. You couldn't pay me enough to do this. And it's the same for you in different areas of what you do. And you do in church world, or maybe your work world, or your employment world, or your business. Don't base it on what others say about you, or what others say of you, or what others say to you. There's a higher authority that notices when you plant the seed. There's a higher authority who is part of the creative process. Others are not part of it. They are not part of that creative process of me sowing the seed and seeing the blessing and favor of God coming. They can say what they want. They can do what they want. They can think what they want. It doesn't matter. I'm going to keep sowing the seed no matter what. Everyone say, no matter what? No matter what, I'm going to be a seed sower, because that means I'm a good farmer. Sometimes in church life, people come to a new church like this one. And they'll come to a new church from their old church where they may have had an experience. I mean, I can't believe that people have bad experiences in church, but apparently we do. And they've had a bad experience and a little bit hurt when they come. And there's a little bit of withholding and people holding back in terms of connecting and belonging and building community and becoming a part of it. And my question to that is, what will that field look like if you keep holding back? If you keep holding back, what's it going to look like? That's going to be a barren field. That's going to be a barren field. The church will never be what you need it to be if you have the attitude of, I'm just going to hold back. I'm just going to hold back. I would love to call this sermon No Holding Back. No holding back. I think this is a season of no holding back. I think this is a season of all in. I think this is a season of investing in the kingdom of God, in the church of God, and in your life. This is not a season to sit back, hold back. This is not a season just to wait and see how it works out. A good farmer doesn't do that. Farmers who wait for perfect weather, the Bible says, never plant. If they watch every cloud, they will never harvest. If we're trying to be like the weatherman and work out all the weather patterns and weather conditions for our life, we'll hold back. We'll hold back, and when we hold back, it affects our future harvest, our future life, our future church, our future family, our future anything is determined by whether we're holding back. We'll never sow. We'll never plant, invest, give, contribute, connect, serve. We'll never harvest what we really want. So my message today is simple. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Would you turn to yourself and say, don't hold back? That confused you. Turn to yourself and say, don't hold back. Back, regardless of the conditions, regardless of the weather. Like, I love, like, real surfers, people that surf waves, they don't hold back. They don't care what the weather is. Matter of fact, the badder the better. The badder the better. They're crazy. I don't know whether you've ever gone down to Snapper Rocks and watched them surf. And they don't care that the wind's blowing and the waves are up and the seas are up and the tides are up and there's a little bit of wind around. They get into that because that's going to be a better, bigger wave for them, and that's where they want to be. The ones that just do it sort of casually, they want to surf when conditions are perfect and it's easy. But the real surfers, they don't mind the bad weather because they have a no matter what, I'm going to get in and I'm going to surf that wave. So church, don't stop doing good because of challenging circumstances. The writer of Ecclesiastes says, plant your seed in the morning and work all afternoon. Plant it in the morning and work all afternoon because you don't know which one God's going to bless. You don't know which activity God will reward. So the farmer's only hope for a harvest is in the seed that he plants. The only hope for a harvest is in the seed that he puts in the ground. He can't control the weather. He can't do anything about that. He can't let what another farmer experienced down the road determine what he does. Doesn't matter what another farmer says. It's about his farm, his crop, his harvest, his seed. He can't let weariness hold him back. He's got one job in this creative process of harvesting, and that is to plant the seed. Get the seed in the ground and see what God does with that. It works exactly the same for us. We don't control everything in the creative process of our future, but there are seeds that we plant that can hopefully bring about better outcomes for us in our future life. And I want to lead, and I want to encourage every one of us today, as individuals, but not only individuals, collectively as a church. I want to speak into the heart and the soul and the culture of our church. I want to speak into future church. Into future church. I want to speak into it. I've been speaking to our leaders about future church for about 18 months now. And I want to lead and speak into this zone about us being decisive about the kind of sowing that we do. The seeds that we sow. And I want to lead you to keep doing good. And I want to lead you to keep being faithful and to keep being strong and to keep loving the Lord wholeheartedly and honoring the Lord no matter what the season may look like. I want to lead you in serving God continuously, that we'd not give up on that, and being committed and being fully invested with our lives and our families. Lead you in being connected and building community one with another. What we do in connect groups is not something just to do because we have nothing else to do. It's because we're building community in that. It's a priority and it's important and it's part of the passionate purpose that we have as a church. I want to lead you to stay strong in your journey and to keep consistent in the journey. So that's why this series of thought is being shared right now. And I want to encourage you, don't worry about the weather. Don't worry about the weather and what the conditions are like. Let's continue to do what we know we are called to do and what we need to do in this moment, because doing good always creates a harvest of good things. Who wants good things? Good things. Good things is, that's a Bible phrase. They're Bible words. The Bible says that God always does good things. Good things. Doing good always creates a harvest of good things. You know this thought of sowing and reaping? It works for everybody. It works for the young, the old. It works for male and female, single and married, employed and unemployed. It works for new Christian, old Christian, and non-Christian. It works for every human being. That's why, rooted in Hindu philosophy, this thought of karma exists. And for us in sowing and reaping and seed time and harvest, this biblical principle, and Paul talks about it where he says that we will reap what we sow. It's a principle, a law, a spiritual law, and a natural law that God has put in place. So let's talk about church. How we do church matters. This really matters. How we do the collective really matters. Like for our worship, I have lots of conversations with new people when they come, and a lot of people want to be involved in a church that is expressive. Is expressive in its praise, is expressive in its worship. But the thing that I've noticed, the people that I have a lot of those conversations with who want an expressive church are totally unexpressive themselves when they come to that expressive church. It's a mystery to me. They want it, they're attracted to it, they love it, but when they're in it, they just stand and stare. God didn't call us to stand and stare. Staring is not praise. It's staring. You won't find anywhere in the Bible where it says, come into his presence and stare. Nowhere. It's not an act of worship at all. And so I want to call out the starers today. Can I call out some things? I want to call out the starers today. And I want to call out that sense of just wondering. And I want to call it to worship. And if you love the expressive church, then be expressive. Be expressive. Add some value to the worship experience, not only for yourself, but for others. I love it when the people around me are expressive. I love hearing them sing. I love it. I love hearing people praise. I love hearing people responding. And, you know, the truth is, there'll always be people that are going to reach over and grab your harvest in church life. The non-expressive person that grabs your joy, grabs your worship, grabs your passion, and they sit near you. Well, cheer them on to be a worshiper themselves. Cheer them on to sing themselves and get involved themselves and lift their hands themselves. Because there's sometimes people that live off your life, they live off your joy, they live off your passion and your enthusiasm. So how we worship collectively really matters, because it creates future church. And the problem with starers is this. If you have too many starers, it waters down your expressive culture to become a staring culture. And I don't want a staring church. Any friends out there? Anyone want to stop staring today? Come on. I'm trying to be your pastor today. If it's too hard, if it's a bit harsh, I'll blame it on the medication. But I'm just trying to be your pastor today. Because I'm trying to get you from holding back. I'm trying to call out from holding back. And to plant a good seed when it comes to the way we collectively worship. What about our serving mindset? Our serving mindset. Ask yourself this question. If everybody in church served the way that I serve, what would the church look like? What would the church look like if everyone served like I serve? What would it look like? What would it look like if everyone served the way I serve? I think we can all find somewhere to serve, somewhere to do something. You don't need a title. You don't even need to be on a team. You can still serve. I love people that just get involved. Just get involved. Just find somebody to serve, somebody to help, somebody to assist in some way. What would happen to future church if we all served the way that I serve? And so I'm going to serve hard. I'm going to serve hard because I want future church to be good. I want future church to really have life in it, so I'm going to worship hard. I want future church to have a sense of service about it, so I'm going to serve hard because I refuse to let that break down. What about our giving? What about our giving, our tithing, our offerings? Josh talked about that before. Don't hold back on your giving. Can I, as pastor, just say today that if this is your church, then when it comes to our giving and our tithing, which is 10% of our income as we present to the Lord, and we understand and we teach that as a biblical principle, well, if we really believe that, let's do that. And let's do that here, not somewhere else. I talk to people sometimes and they tell me about some television evangelist they're sending their tithes to, and I just look at them and I at that point I have nothing to say. I'm speechless because I just think, I don't get that. You think Benny Hinn's going to come rushing to you? You think Benny Hinn's going to help you? You think Benny Hinn's going to do anything for you? Not at all. And it's highly unaccountable. And it's highly unbiblical. And there's no blessing on that seed. And the Bible talks about the tithe being a seed and bringing it to the house of God, to the place of his name. And for me, I represent and interpret that as the place where we're fed, the place where we're led, as our church. And it's not anything wrong at all of sending some money to Benny Hinn if you want to send it to Benny Hinn. But this is your church right here. And this is where it really should flow to. So the tithe is a seed that we invest in the house of God. I sometimes have people that want to talk to me about their rationalization as to why they can't give anything or can't tithe anything at all, or their belief about tithing from the scriptures. And I don't want to argue about that, and I don't argue with people about that. But can I just say, I've heard every excuse that there is, I think, in regards to that. And every excuse that I've ever heard has smelt like an armpit to me. It just stinks. It just stinks. It doesn't pass the pub test, if I can say that in church. It doesn't pass the pub test when it comes to the understanding and interpretation of what the scriptures mean about that. And so I refuse to allow the weather to determine what happens with my tithe. So sow your tithe no matter what. Can I say this also about the comments that I just made? I'm not saying that because the tithes are down in this church, because our tithes are exactly the same, if not better, when they were about 4 years ago, when there were a whole lot more people sitting here, which blows my mind. to think that with the number we have here now, the tithes are still way up there. So I'm not doing that because it's low. I'm doing that because I know some people hold back. And this part is about you and I. Let's not hold back. Let's sow that seed. Because good seeds always produce a good harvest. Sorry, guys, I know where that went. If you can get it back to that one. Good seeds always produce a good harvest. Paul says in Galatians 6, 9. Let's not get tired of doing what's good. At just the right time. Thank you, Harrison. At just the right time. We'll reap a harvest of blessing if what? If we don't give up, we will reap a harvest of blessing at just the right time. So don't get tired of doing what's good. Whoever gets tired? I get tired. I'm tired now. I want to sleep. Anyone else want to sleep? I told our team this morning, nobody's sleeping on me in church today. Because I'm drawing a line today. A don't hold back line today. So I want everyone's attention today. The Bible says, don't get tired of what? Doing what's good. Doing what's good. Doing what's good doesn't make you tired. Doing what's good actually fuels us and fuels our faith and fuels our purpose. So being faithful is simply doing it when you don't feel like doing it. Doing it when you don't. There are some days I bet you don't feel like doing what you do. Some Mondays you just don't want to go to the office. You don't want to go to the workplace. You don't want to do this. You don't want to do that. We all have those days. We all have those moments. But what do? You do it anyway. You put your big boy pants on. You put your big girl pants on. And you do it. You do it anyway. Turn to your neighbor and say, just do it. Just do it. Just get it done. So you worship when you don't feel like it. And when you worship when you don't feel like it, it won't take too long. The feeling of liking it will come. You serve when you don't feel like it. You tithe when you don't feel like it. Because it's not about the feeling, it's about the sowing. Sow the seed in the morning and do your work all afternoon. Who knows what God will bless. And Paul says at just the right time we'll reap a harvest. So we keep sowing when it's not easy. We keep sowing when it's not noticed. We keep sowing when it's not comfortable, when there's resistance or when there's persecution or when we're misunderstood. Why? Because doing good is how we overcome evil. And this is where I want to land my sermon today, because I've got some things to say. So put your seatbelts on right now. Click, 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 click. No one leave the building, please. Lunch can wait. Doing good is how we overcome evil. I want to be known for what I'm for, not for what I'm against. I want to fly the flag of good things. And I want to be a doer of good. And I'm looking for some friends today that are going to want to overcome the evil that's happening in our world today. Paul says this in Romans 12. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. It's an action. It's not an intention. It's an action. It's something you do. It's something you stand up for. It's something you represent. You represent good things. And Paul says we overcome evil by doing good. We don't overcome evil by being passive. We don't overcome evil by just being nice. We don't overcome evil by holding back. We overcome evil by doing good. Good things overcome evil. And the writer of Hebrews tells us, he tells us what kind of people we are. He says in Hebrews 10:39, we do not belong to those who shrink back. That's not us. We don't belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we belong to those that have faith and are saved. So if we're in the family of God, in the house of God, in the kingdom of God, we're not shrinkers. We don't hold back. We don't pull back. We take the handbrake off. You ever try to drive your car with a handbrake on? That's the way some people are living their faith and living their lives. Take the handbrake off, because that's not who we are. You got to know who you're not. Who are you? Know who you're not. You're not a shrinker. Don't shrink back. That's not who our God is. God's not afraid of a little bit of challenge. He's not afraid of a little bit of reduction. He's not afraid of a little bit of bad weather. He's always looking to a better future and a better outcome and a bigger outcome and a brighter future. See, faith drives us forward. Faith is an igniter. Faith is alive. Faith is active. And the truth is, and you don't need to hear me say this, you know this. You turn your TV on, you know it. There's a lot of evil that's prevalent in our world right now. And it seems like it's all gone crazy at an alarming rate. Evil is escalating in the world. It's a very dark world at the moment with so much that's going on. It seems like since the COVID pandemic happened in 2020, it has developed so much conflict and tension in our world. And kingdoms are in conflict, and it's a kingdom of darkness and it's a kingdom of light. And it's an escalation of that battle that's going on in our world. And our lives and life itself is being rewritten at the moment. And we are seeing it happen at an escalating and an alarming rate right across our world, this is happening. Cancel culture is dominating the voice of change socially and morally. Cancel culture is attacking every sphere and every space of life. And social change has been fueled by cancel culture in a negative way. And what we have today is minority voices that are dominating public script. And if we sit back and we be silent, if we sit back and we be passive, if we sit back and hold back, then we will get the future we deserve, not the future we've sown for. And we need to start sowing some seeds for a better outcome and a better future. And we need to know who we are and who we're not. Who we are and who we are not. And I need to tell you that the church is going to come under fire like it's never been under fire in our time. We've known nothing like the persecution that is potentially at our doorstep right now because of cancel culture. We are not immune from that voice. We are not immune from that narrative. We are not immune from that script that is coming our way. It'll get increasingly difficult in our Western world to proclaim the gospel as we proclaim it. And we better be ready for that. And we're not going to be ready for it by holding back and being neutral and being complacent and being passive and being que sera, sera. We did a sermon series called Armor On for a very good reason. It's time to get your armor on. It's time to be battle ready for the time that God has placed us in. It's time. It's time for us to understand the times that we live in. There will be this voice of this cry, and you see it everywhere, of misinformation. The gospel will become misinformation, and they'll try and shut us down because we are misinformation to the community. They'll try and cancel our message by dominating the narrative as misinformation. This is not the time for the church just to be nice and safe and polite and voiceless and directionless. This is time for the church to know what she wants, what she sees, what kind of future she wants to have, and to know what future church could be and to start being that church right now. You don't wait till it happens to be that church. You got to get that involved right now. You don't go and become an Olympian because you decide to become an Olympian tomorrow. I mean, there are potential Olympians in this room. But most of you are going to be dead by the time you're fit for it. It's just the truth. Should have started training a long time ago. I mean, there are some things I probably could have done with my life if I'd have prepared. But this is all I prepared for. I didn't have an option B. I could have been a bodybuilder. I've been building this body for a long time. There's no sense of plan for it. It's going everywhere. And that sometimes is what life is like. It's what it's like for some people. So don't wait for cancel culture's voice to come after the church. Sow seeds right now to be the church you want to be. This is your church. It's your church. This church is only ever Tony's church when people leave. It's the only time. and it changes overnight like that. And if you're in that marginal position, I'm calling you out today. Can't live like that. Can't be that kind of church. Can't be that kind of God follower. Doing good is how we overcome evil. Let the darkness make your light brighter. That's one thing I love about darkness. It makes you glow because you carry light. You carry light. So don't hold back in fear. Move forward in faith. Don't hold back. Go all in and push through any hesitation that you may have, because people are standing up all over our world and stating untruths as if they are true. Why would we be silent right now? Why would we be quiet right now? Why would we hold back right now? The church needs to be fully invested and fully vested into the kingdom of God with what we do. It's time for believers. Can I say this? Oh, dear me. It's time for believers to get their junk off social media about the church. I see believers bag the church and bag their pastors and bag what their pastors are preaching and bag how the church is run. Can I just say that if anyone in our church does that, you can expect that I will not be silent. I will not be silent. Because the Bible says a part of my description and job description is to correct, adjust, rebuke. Like a father. If I just pamper my children all the time and I don't adjust them, correct them and rebuke them, I'm an irresponsible father. And I'm an irresponsible pastor if I just let people say whatever they want to say publicly, socially, about the church, which I love passionately. I love God's great church. I know the church all around is not perfect. Ours inclusive of that. I know it's far from perfect. But it doesn't mean that we throw our junk up on social media. What does that achieve for people that really don't care and shouldn't have that thrown in their face? And it's like we need to just pull our junk off and start cheering the church on in public. Start cheering it on. Don't bag your team. Don't bag your team. And so if you're doing that or a friend's doing that, call them out. Call them out on it. Because that is not a good seed. Never is that a good seed. It's not time for hesitation. It's not time for hiding. This is not a season to be missing in action. This is not a time to be complacent or casual. This is not a time to be marginal. This is not a time to hold back. This is a good fun sermon, isn't it? This is a time to be fully invested in the kingdom of God. It's time to take the handbrake off. Turn to your neighbor and say, get it off. Get it off. It's time to take the handbrake off. It's not time to play it safe. It's time to play as a team and play hard. Our world is never ever going to be the same again. Something happened in 2020 that was beyond the natural. Something took place in the spiritual realms that has changed our world forever, and life will never be the same as it was in 2019. We've all felt that shift. We've all lived through that shift. Many of us thought, myself inclusive, it's okay, it'll just bounce back. Life will be the same again, but it hasn't, and it most likely won't. Something changed that has escalated evil in this time like we have never seen it. We've stepped into a time of tit for tat, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. There is a barrage of evil intent that is coming like a tidal wave across our world. This is a new day and everything has changed. And what will you do? And what will I do? And what will we do as a collective? Will we hold back? No! No holding back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. If you've been part of that marginal space in terms of the kingdom of God and the church, can I ask you today to have a good look at that? Because it's not a time to hold back. We need you. God is relying on you. And God has called you here for this moment. And this time, it's time to step up, time to show up, time not to hold back. You're here by divine design, and this is our time to shine. James says this in closing. James says in James 2, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? What good is that? Faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead. And it's useless. Now, someone may argue, well, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, How can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. And I think this is a season where heaven's looking at us and saying, show me your faith. Don't just talk it, walk it. Don't just sing it, bring it. Don't just proclaim it, sustain it. Be the church you want to be. See the church you want to be. Be the person you want to be. And see the person you want to be. And build for better outcomes for your future individually and for us collectively. So our future is not in the hands of happenstance at all. It's based on sowing and it's based on reaping. So here's my call. My call is stay the course. My call is stay the course in bad weather, unfavorable weather. Stay the course in the struggle, because that's what faith is all about. And don't hold back, no matter what. And break free from every restraint that's on your life. Would you stand with me today, please? I want to pray today, because I need to pray. Because I know that sometimes when I say things, people can sometimes be a little bit challenged, some a little bit offended, some a little bit thinking, well, that's a bit strong. I'm just trying to be your pastor. That's all I'm trying to be. I'm just trying to speak into the season of life. And I want future you to be the best version of you. And I want future church to be the best version of future church that we can be. And so I'm going to see it. And I'm going to say what I see. And I know that there's coming a season of unprecedented pressure. Unprecedented pressure in our world, where they will try to silence, where they will try and push us aside, where they'll try and negate us as just being another community organization, another community group that can be easily controlled and dominated. But we will not shrink back, and I will not be silent. And we will voice the gospel. We will voice kingdom truth and kingdom principle. We will do that in a loving way. We will do that in a helpful way. But we will do it loud and we will do it proud. But I want to pray for you today. I want to pray that God would help you. And particularly if you're in that marginal zone with the Lord, marginal zone with others, marginal zone with God's great church. I want to pray God will help you to step right in and stop holding back. Stop holding back. Some have been holding back and thinking, well, when God does this, God changes that, and God does this miracle, then I'll really give all. Don't hold back. Don't wait for that. The answer you want may be found in the seed you sow. God's working. Even when you don't see it, He's working. Even when you don't feel it, He's working. Even when you don't know it, He's working. That's the mystery of seed. You put it in the ground and you can't see it. Some of you remember what it was like when you did your school experiments with seed. And you put it in a little bit of soil and you watered it and you got up the next day and you dug it up because you were full of such expectancy. Don't play with it. Don't play with that soil. Just let the seed do what the seed is created to do. The seed's created to break open at the appropriate time and give birth to something magnificent. Just let the seed do what it does. you be a good farmer, sow the seed.
Never stop working. Never stop. Never stop. Stop working, never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, never stop working. Never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, never stop working.
Never stop, you never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, you never stop working. Never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop.
Every individual, every family here today and online today. I pray for our church today. I pray for our futures together. I pray for the blessing and the favor and the goodness of God. We're here to please you. We're here to fulfill your will. We're here to build your church. Father, we're here to be a part of that creative process. We're here to be planted with our families in the house of God. We're here to do good things, Father. And we're here to be the best version of ourselves. And we are never better than when we're connected to you, your heart, your kingdom, your church, and each other. And I pray today, help the church to be fearless, bold, beautiful, strong, passionate, expressive. Help us not to be starers. Help us not to be complacent. Help us to know who we are not and who we are. And give us the voice of heaven to speak into this evil age and to overcome evil by doing good. Help people today that are caught up in the prison of circumstance and the prison of unfavorable conditions, Father, and who are holding back on what they know to do and what they need to do and what they can do, and to break free from that today. We will not live cowering to the darkness and the evil. We will not live in fear of it, Father, but we will shine more brightly because of that, because that's who we are. That's who you are. We thank you today for your spirit.
That is who you are.
Helping every one of us today.
That is who you are.
In Jesus' name.
That is who you are.
Promise keeper. Church, God bless you. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you to our online family today. We love you guys. Hospitality's open right now. Cafe's open. Don't forget, for all the guys, you need to register for Man Moments. You can do that at the Ask Me desk. Get your name down. It's free of charge. Just make sure you're registered for that event. God bless you. Have an amazing week and shine brightly. Thank you. God bless.